141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move on through the January transfer window. As another day passes without any concrete news out of Celtic, the inquest will continue, no doubt. Lauren Shankland faces 6 to 8 weeks on the sidelines. What does that do for the title race? And a huge game down nearer the bottom of the Premiership tonight with Livingston welcoming St Mirren once again. I'm Gordon Duncan. Tuesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley looks different.
Yeah, well, at least they gave me an excuse to shave. I hadn't shaved since Friday. So when they called me and said that Big Marv couldn't make it, I immediately reached for the razor. In answer to your question, will it cost Hearts the title? Lauren Shankland out for 8 weeks, Cammy Devlin out for 8 weeks, Benny Beningame suspended for the next two games. Will it cost Hearts the title? I think yes. Will it cost them defeat against Celtic on Sunday at Tynecastle? I think no, because Celtic remain in their dysfunctional state. They have still to go to Italy to play Bologna in the Europa League, and I don't think they will have a striker in for the game against Tynecastle. So I think Hearts will win on Sunday, but will not win the title.
They can beat Celtic, but they can't win the title.
Yep.
I take it then you're looking at Rangers as going in as favourites just now.
Correct.
In the January window, yeah.
By the process of elimination, yeah, we arrive at Rangers for the title.
I've worked with you too long. I know you. I've got to say, it's a big, big blow for Hearts. Your top goal scorer, your captain, your leader. Devlin, as we spoke about, has been absolutely magnificent for Hearts as well. So that is a big blow. I think it'll be a great game at the weekend. But I'll tell you what, you can look at the top of the league there now. I think tonight is massive for both St Mirren and Livingston. One of those clubs certainly need 3 points.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. So come on down, let us know what you're thinking this evening. We are here from you between now and 8 o'clock. It's another day, which means more transfer speculation. Particularly the East End of Glasgow seems to get most of the focus. So Celtic fans, what's the latest? Are you feeling any different from what you were feeling yesterday? The only thing that's maybe bubbling away is the suggestion of outgoings. Did you see that stuff in Germany last night? Maybe about Arne Engels being monitored by RB Leipzig. Is that something you would entertain? What type of price would it take? Or are you far more focused on getting players in? Do let us know. I think it's a great question to all of you who consider yourselves involved in the title race. Does Lauren Shankland's injury change things? If so, how much? Hearts fans, I'm looking at you. Has your confidence come down in light of that news today? Rangers and Celtic fans, has your confidence gone up in light of that news today? 6 to 8 weeks, he's their main striker, he's the captain, he's clearly having a very good season. So what do you think? Lauren Shankland's injury and the impact on the title race, please. 0141 951 1025. Any St Mirren fans heading through to Livy, how big is this game tonight? It's not the end of the table you would prefer to be at, but it is what it is. How crucial could this be when the points are totaled up come the end of May? And anything else, you know where we are. If you want to throw a curveball in, these two can handle it. 0141 951 1025.
When Cammy Devlin went out injured, I thought that's not good for Hearts. And what happens, first time out, they are eliminated from the Scottish Cup by Falkirk. When Lauren Shankland went off before the end of the Falkirk game, I thought fate is now playing tricks with Derek McInnes. And Beningame out for the next two games. I think in the long term, Shankland has scored 15 goals in all competitions this season. And I think in the long term, his miss from the side will be insurmountable for Hearts. And I think Cammy Devlin's loss to the side is also insurmountable. The two of them together, fate has played a trick on Hearts, and I think it costs them the title now.
Fascinating week this as well, Gordon, because for obvious reasons, Europe is becoming a bit of an afterthought now. Rangers have, have only got 1 point on the board, so it feels like their fans probably could just do a moving on and getting back to focusing on that title race. And then weirdly for Celtic, they have a chance of progressing in Europe. It probably doesn't feel like it because of the form at the moment and all the focus on the lack of signings and so on, but they actually do a proper decent chance. depending on what way you look at it. So interesting to see how they approach this week.
It'll be interesting to see how both approach, because Rangers, obviously, as you say, Gordon, their European campaign's finished, it's over. But you remember, there's still a lot of money to play for with points.
Coefficient points and all that.
Yeah, that helps, obviously, in with the transfer window open, and Rangers spending some money just now and recruiting very well. And then you look at Celtic, you're right, they've got a great opportunity. A valuable 3 points over in Italy on Thursday would be great for them. Are they capable of going over there and winning? Yes. I don't think Bologna are in great shape just now, but Celtic are well capable of doing that. We've seen it before. But I do think for Celtic fans just now, we are sick and fed up saying it. When are they going to get players in the door? I have been backing them, saying, right, OK, this is a week. They're coming up to a massive game against Hearts. I think that, OK, unless you're a Celtic fan, I think if Hearts went 9 points in front and Rangers won their game, I don't think there's any way back for a squad with Celtic. I don't think they're good enough to win the league. I really don't. And I keep saying they will strengthen. It's Celtic. They've got money. They will strengthen. It's Martin O'Neill. They will back Martin O'Neill. There's no sign of it yet.
The challenge for you pundits, I don't envy you, because it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
You need to tell us something we've not said before now about Celtic's transfers. It's difficult, Hugh, because every day is the same, so every response feels like it's becoming repetitive.
I think the only thing you can say, Gordon, is why is it always like this? You go back to last January, Kyogo goes and Celtic begin the search for his replacement, and tonight they're still looking for his replacement a year later. Apparently there was a meeting at Lennox Town, Michael Nicholson, the chief exec, Martin O'Neill, but a meeting about what? We're 20 days into the transfer window. Whatever they had to say yesterday at the meeting, they must have said on day one or day three or four of the transfer window. Celtic are dysfunctional, and there appears to be no recruitment strategy. Martin O'Neill has just been handed it. As well as the coaching of the team, as well as trying to placate the fans via the press, Martin O'Neill's also been handed the recruitment policy.
Let's go straight to the phones, where Scott awaits us. How are you, Scott?
I'm good, guys. Yourself?
Not bad, Scott. What are you thinking tonight?
It's the usual with me. It's the transfer merry-go-round and the signings you have not brought in, and the lack of players to replace players that left, like Adam and Dan Kyogo. Goal scorers are one of the hardest things in any level of football to get back in. Now, I think Celtic, with the amount of scouts we've got out there, with the amount of fingers and pies we must have with clubs, we should have recruited one. Or two, as a matter of fact. But my point's really not, it's about signings and the lack of them. But, see if somebody signed just now, right? See if he's been out and signed a £12 million striker, right? What's the first thing the media's going to say? They're going to say, who signed him? You've not got a manager, who signed him? Same as a centre-half, or an outside right, or a midfield player. Well, the same question. It's going to be, who signed him? And then if he's a poor player, oh, well, it wasn't his signing, it was somebody else's signing. My point is, Celtic can't win just now. I'm not sticking up for him in any way, shape or form. But if we don't, if you sign a striker and you get a new manager in, and he doesn't suit that manager's style of play, you're then left with an 8, a 9, a £10 million player that is going to be costing money, signing on cheap, and he's going to sit in the reserves, or he's going to sit in the bench every week.
That's Scott, why there'll be no £12 million signing or anything like it, Scott. There'll be a loan signing before the end of the window. I don't know whether it will be before the most pivotal game of the season against Hearts at Tynecastle on Sunday. Based on everything we know about Celtic, they'll do it on Monday after the game at Tynecastle. But I think you're right up to a point that there'll be a loan signing, there'll be no big money spent, because Celtic don't even know who their manager will be next season.
But see, at the same time, that can happen. If you've got a structure in place, that can, because managers come and go, that's the, now especially nowadays. So to kind of mix the 2 points together, Hugh's talking about, you either do loans or you just have a structure there with a new manager? Since Jimmy Tilleen left, Aberdeen have signed Lyle Cameron, they've signed Liam Morrison today. Clubs without managers can sign players.
100%.
You just can.
I think where Scott's missing, I do agree. I think there'll be one or two in the corridors of Celtic Park a wee bit frightened of putting names forward in case it does
sure,
go.
Or if you're going for the big fee and all that.
But what we're missing here right now, forget a new manager coming in the summer. Forget who's got to be there in the summer. Celtic are here and now. They've got a title challenge here, not just from one club, which is normally Rangers. From Hearts as well. I know Hearts have got their problems with their injuries now, but they still recruit very well. So forget about the summer. If you're serious of going and winning this league again, you've got to just put all your eggs in one basket. You've got to get players in. Listen, see if they cost you 10 million. We've heard it a million times. Celtic are cash rich. They can afford 10 million. They can afford this. What they can't afford for their supporters and everybody involved with the club is not to win this league. And right now, if you were sitting with the same squads and the way Celtic are going about, the way Rangers are going about, the way Hearts are going about, they'll be lucky to finish second. They could finish third.
I've used the polite word dysfunctional, but a year on, still to be looking for Kyogo's replacement is negligence. And the last three transfer windows have been negligent. They issued the apology after the summertime transfer window that was an utter shambles. No one signed the apology, but at least they issued one. And on we go into the next transfer window, and it's just the same story. It is dysfunctional. It's also negligent.
What about even loans then, Scott? Surely you can do some semi-sensible loan business in this window, whether there's a manager or next season or not.
I threw the £12 million thing out as just as an example of what the feedback would be. Now, I've got my own sort of thoughts on who I think might be the potential manager. I think Sean Maloney being in charge of recruiting players is an interesting thing. I know it's a joint venture with Mark Linney and Sean, but it's interesting. I do think we'll get loan players in. The reason being is it's a World Cup year, and there's going to be a lot of good players not kicking a ball for their teams at present. England, Germany, Spain, France, whatever it may be, they'll want to get to that World Cup. And Celtic still being in Europe, potentially, still being in the race for the championship and still in for the Scottish Cup, it might be enough to tempt players to come.
Do you believe they'll be in the race for the title if they lose at Hearts on Sunday and go 9 behind?
Yes. Yeah, and the reason I'm saying that is, see, so far this season, everybody's cut each other's throats a wee bit. Hearts beat Rangers.
Nobody's cut Hearts' throat yet. Expression.
But let's be honest with you now here. Let's not look at the chase a wee bit. Celtic are without four players that were probably first choice picks all season. Now Hearts are getting that wee bit of bad luck with injuries. Let's see how their squad copes with their main striker out, their main midfield player out.
How much does that boost? See, on that, it's a good point, Scott, because we asked that at the top. How much does that Lawrence Shankland 6 to 8 week injury change your thoughts on the title race? Does Celtic have a better chance now because of that, quite simply?
Is that to myself?
Yeah. Sorry, Scott.
Yeah, because although the boy Braga has scored goals for him, he went 10, it was 8 games before he scored against us back in December. I think it was December, November, sorry, just as Nancy came in. And he has been a bit patchy as well since then. I don't think, if you take Shankland out of their team, it's not just his goals. He's a bit like a Henry Larson type thing. He's the figurehead, the person you look to when you're looking for a goal. And you know what it's like when Henry was there on your team, you know what I mean? He's there, he's a presence. But I mean, he went last season, he hardly scored a goal last year, if you remember right. But this season, he's obviously picked that back up. Probably down to him, didn't know where he was going to be. But I think it'll be massive for them. I really do.
Hugh agrees with Scott. Gordon, I'm keen to get your thoughts. How much of a game changer is Lawrence Shankland's injury for you? Six to 8 weeks.
Massive. Not just that. If you look at Hearts this season, they've been terrific right down the spine of their team. Halkett and Finlay, you've got two centre halves, have been solid, been brilliant. Devlin has been outstanding. He's out for, what, a couple of months? He'll be a massive miss. Shankland's now out for, 6 to 8 weeks? your goal scorer, your captain, everything about him. He's massive to Hearts. So you've only got on the spine now of that, you've got your two centre halves. You've lost your best midfielder by a country mile this year. He's been great. And you've lost probably your best striker. So all of a sudden, you are now looking like, and Scott's right, they've got to deal with, because let's be fair to Celtic, they lost three of their biggest hitters, Carter Vickers, Johnson and Jota, for most of the season. So I know that Celtic have got more money in Hearts and everything about it, but they'll need to deal with it.
Talk
has
about
it cost Hearts the title? Yes or no?
I've got to be honest with you, I always thought that coming into the business end, I always thought Hearts maybe just come back towards the pack for me. I didn't think
anyway,
Hearts
regardless of these injuries.
Yeah.
Forget 6 to 8 weeks. I think, forgive my dodgy arithmetic, what's that? Within 3.5 weeks, Hearts play Celtic, Hibs and Rangers. So, that, you know, that's some schedule coming up.
I think it has cost them the title. I think fate has dealt Derek McInnes a rotten hand. But I don't think it will cost them the game against Celtic on Sunday because of Celtic's current state.
Andrew is on the other line. Take it away, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. I think now I'm just in a total state of apathy when it comes to Celtic. I've kind of been feeling this since the summer, but this has been a long build-up for me of years. And you guys will know yourself. There's been guys phoning up this show for years complaining about the Celtic board, but because they were winning trebles, they were winning doubles, they were in the Champions League, you kept getting retorts back, including from Gordon and including from Hugh, for a long time saying, oh, but how can you believe that they're doing a great job, the club are successful, look at the money they've got in the bank. It was almost a badge of honour, all this money that Celtic had. But now that we're facing a challenge from Hearts and from Rangers, because the clubs have got their stuff together, the cracks are now starting to show within Celtic. This has been going on for years and years and years. Their attitude towards the fan base, the money that they bring into the club, and then the way that they spend their funds has become almost like Dermot Desmond's went, well, it's my money. There's this feeling that he owns the club and runs the club, but he's a non-executive director.
But he does run the club, though. When Brendan Rodgers was sacked, he was the one who released the statement and then telephoned Mark McNeil.
He shouldn't be doing that, though, Hugh. This is the issue. And he's had it his own way for such a long time that as soon as anyone stands up to him, they become anti-establishment. You've seen it with the Green Brigade. It was their fault. It was Brendan Rodgers' fault. I'm surprised Hoopy the Huddle Hound hasn't been blamed yet. Dermot Desmond is the high school bully who goes about punching people but would then go around telling everybody that somebody had headbutted his fist.
I would simply isolate this season, Andrew, by saying, let's begin with Kairat Almaty. Yep. Let's say the sacking of two managers.
Yep. Rodgers wasn't sacked, to be fair.
Well,
however, for the record,
two permanent managers have left the club. Martin O'Neill was brought in on an interim basis and then let go before a cup final that Martin O'Neill would have won. And then, after Motherwell showed the gulf between a proper manager and an improper manager, Nancy should have been gone then, but was allowed to stumble his way through the Old Firm game.
Yep.
The whole season has been a chaotic shambles.
Does this feel different, though, Andrew? Because I know you're not alone in saying that you feel parts of this have been failing for years, but within that, there has obviously been good pieces of business done. Within that, there's also been a lot of money spent. Now, maybe not wisely at times, that's fine.
Yep.
But right now, like, none of that's even happening. You know, there's literally nothing. Now that may change in the next 10 days, but it's just quite surprising, isn't it?
The reason is, Gordon, is we've not modernised as a football club. We still rely on agents and handouts and going through our wee file of facts and what letter that lands on that day, and we'll phone that agent and then we'll phone and see if a player's available. Whereas you've got Hearts who've got owners who've built a software to go out and find players. For example, their striker is injured and they've expedited a player in. So these clubs are working. Rangers, and I'll give them their due. Their fans must be happy that they've now got a board in place who'll go put their hands up and apologise to the fans. We got it wrong, and they get rid of the people who made the decisions to bring that manager in. It didn't work. They put their hands up and went, we got it wrong. We don't have that. We have a posturing board and a posturing owner in quotation marks who tell the fans, this is it, accept it. Well, we pump millions and millions of pounds into the club. and we don't see the return back. And you hear stories from chief executives of other clubs, from agents of other teams who are mocking the way that we do business. And you hear ex-players say that the contract talks, so like Benjamin Sigrist, these aren't isolated stories. There's far too many of these stories now for it just to be made up.
Andrew and Balloch, you put some interesting points across and put them across well. Thank you. We will do more of that when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in, of course. January transfer window is always providing big talking points. We've got that Lawrence Shankland injury, asking all of you who consider yourselves in the title race, does that change things? How much of a game changer is it? Hugh thinks it is, thinks it's a serious game changer in a detrimental sense to Hearts. Gordon DL is not quite as sure, and I want to know what you think. 0141 951 1025. Big game tonight, of course, at Livy against St Mirren. Let's go to John first though, who's on the phone. How are you, John?
Hi, good evening, Gordon and you.
What are you thinking, John? What are you thinking?
All right. Now, listen, this is maybe a wee bit of controversy for you. January, 31 days, right, transfer window. Why is it so important, so drastically bad for Celtic not to sign a player within 48 hours, 4 days, a week, 8 days? I do believe Celtic will have players in the building before Sunday. I think they're doing their homework. I think we don't like bring anybody in, right? I think they will go out and we'll bring quality players in for Martin O'Neill. There's no way Dermot Desmond's going to let Martin O'Neill come back to that club for a second time and go, ah, right, there you go. Just go what you've got, blah, blah, blah. Do you honestly believe that, Hugh?
I honestly believe that there's a chance Celtic will have no new players, loanees or otherwise, in for the Hearts game on Sunday. And I believe it's the pivotal game. And I believe if Celtic lose to Hearts at Tynecastle, they can forget the league. And on all known form, John, from last January and the loss of Kyogo until this January, transfer windows for Celtic have been very poor.
You're absolutely right, John, to point out that the month is 31 days long. Just given what Celtic needed, though, given everybody knew it was a squad that had some holes in it, would you not have expected something else by the... I mean, we're 20 days in. You said 2, 4, 8. The 20th of January. Must have expected something by now, no?
Well, I expect maybe movement. Listen, see as well, the next striker who's injured, right? We've got him. Celtic's been very unfortunate. All our top players are out. Top players.
That's maybe even more reason why you needed early business done in January.
Right. But listen, can I ask you another wee question? Where are we sitting just now? Like this. Well, I'm not going to try to flip any little. Where are we sitting in the league just
second
now?
Second.
Right, okay. Many points behind Hearts?
Six.
Right, okay. Hearts have just had their two major blows, or three major
blows.
It's
just a quiz.
right, hold on a minute, Gordon. Hold on a minute. See, come the end of the season, is about what's in that cabinet. I believe Celtic have two cups in the cabinet. I'm just sick and tired. That RB guy made a point on the radio two calls back there. Celtic can do right or do wrong, whatever. If you get this one, get that one. I do believe we'll have the proper players in the door and we will win the league. And I do believe we'll kick on. So see, come Sunday, Hugh, Celtic will beat Hearts. Hearts will be 3 points in front of Celtic.
And you believe they will have proper players by Sunday?
150%.
How do you define a proper player?
I think, well, there you go, you're saying Loney. I think they'll go out and spend decent money for players. Decent money.
They've done that before, and John. But listen, where Alan?
By the way, they might have somebody in right, by the weekend. Right, well, Martin O'Neill says he's confident.
I'm going to say something. I agree with John here, right? I think that Celtic will have probably more than one player in by Sunday, right? The thing that would disappoint Martin is he would probably like them in the Monday to have the full week working with them. To prepare for, which is a big, big game against Hearts. But I do agree with John. I think they will have players in the building. Now, the one thing we cannot guarantee is if they hit the ground running or not. It's the same Rangers. Rangers have brought three players in. Hearts will bring players in. You can't guarantee anything until you see them fit it into the team, how they adjust to Scottish football. But I certainly think Celtic will have players in the building.
And thank you very much to John on the line. John's not as worried as others. Give us your thoughts. John thinks it'll be all right come the end of the window, and Celtic will go on to win the league. 0141 951 1025. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure. I think the news that I think the previous caller alluded to it. So we're asking, obviously, Lauren Shankland injury, how much of a game changer is it? Just to kind of show how on their toes Hearts are. You have no, this guy might be rubbish, right? So this is not saying this is a guarantee, but Kazim Rogers-Matto, who was meant to be coming in at the end of the season, Hearts are now going to move and make him join, not make him, have him join this month.
Yeah.
You know, just getting the pieces in place and reacting to that Lauren Shankland news. So it, again, no guarantees, but it just looks on the face of it like they're ticking along and doing things in the way that a Jamestown backed club would do.
Yeah, and we had the sight of Rangers parading three players last Friday night before the cup tie against Annan, and you have no structure of that sort at Celtic at the moment. There is no head of football operations, there's no recruitment department. You have the manager, the interim manager, and Sean Maloney looking about for players. It's a chaotic way of going about your business. And I disagree with John that there won't be players, proper players, as John described them. There will be a loanee from somewhere.
That could still work out, though. I mean, that might be what you need to do. I mentioned it earlier, a third name, you know, talking about Aberdeen, when you have a structure and what can be done. I keep saying it because I don't want this being taken as if I'm predicting these signings will be good. I don't know if they are, but I just mean that the way the business has been done. Aberdeen also been linked with Olusanya, who was at St Mirren last season.
Yeah.
They don't have a manager. So then, it might need to be loans, but I think Liam Morrison on paper looks like a good signing for Aberdeen. I think Lyle Cameron was man of the match at the weekend. Olusanya gives them something different up front. So these things can be done.
You can get a good loan. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. Did Adam Eden not come in January at one point?
He was a belated signing.
He came in and he came in alone and was very, very good. In fact, he was that good that Celtic went out and paid £9 million for him.
But
you certainly can get players.
They've got to go to Italy tomorrow. They've got to play this game. And if they get someone in, then he'll meet his teammates on Saturday, have a training session, and go into the pivotal game of the season for Celtic the following day.
Jamie's on the other line. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, guys. How's it getting on? You all right?
Good, thank you. What about you?
I've not got as much confidence as your last caller.
He was very confident, wasn't he?
Just seems to be shutting his eyes and just hoping more than anything that everything's going to be all right. I'm obviously in the Celtic camp that is continually, I'm bordering from frustration onto just anger now at how we're run. We're run more like a bowling club than an elite football club at the minute. And my fear off the back of this is, and I've seen no speculation that this could possibly happen, it's just something I'm personally worried about, and I wanted your feedback, obviously, maybe knowing him a bit more. My fear off the back of this is that we don't get anybody in before the deadline and Martin O'Neill walks. And if Martin O'Neill walks, what do we do? Now, there's part of me that goes, Martin O'Neill's integrity as a man, I don't think he would walk. But what is going to be the final straw for this board? Because Hughes mentioned it earlier, he mentioned the bit negligence, which is what it's bordering on now, given that we're still trying to replace Kyogo 12 months later. So I want to ask your opinion, like, how realistic do you think it is that as a final act of kind of almost, I don't even know what the sort of protest at this board is, Martin O'Neill walking
absolutely
out?
Absolutely no chance, Jamie.
No?
No chance. Absolutely no chance. I'm not a betting man, but I'd certainly bet everything I've got. Not a chance. I don't think that they would leave Martin O'Neill like that. I think that...
Talks about his coupons an awful lot at the weekend for somebody who's not a betting man, doesn't he?
Okay, a big betting man.
That's all I've heard from him for the last 6 weeks.
Okay, but that's an over 2.5. This is a straight
over 2.5 Martin O'Neill departures in a season.
Well, put it this way.
Because he's had one already.
I think that Martin O'Neill will have over 2.5 players in by the time the window shuts. There's absolutely not a chance in this world, and I know Celtic have come in for a lot of criticism. Their summer transfer window was appalling. Everything about being late, all the stuff that went with it, wasting money. Martin O'Neill's there. There's not a chance this window's closing without.
I know
players.
Why Jamie asks it, though, Hugh, because I think there is a growing feeling. I'm not trying to speak on behalf of the Celtic fans, just mean what you've seen in social media over the weekend, almost like they are waiting or wanting Martin O'Neill to now speak out.
Yeah.
You know, rather than sort of flippantly brushing it off about, oh, we'll have players in by the end of the season. I think there's an element of the Celtic fan base that they almost want Martin O'Neill to come out swinging and try and drive transfers through.
And I can understand why. However, if you speak out against Celtic, then you're invited to leave the premises like Brendan Rodgers. I think Martin was deliberately hired first time around because there was astonishment at Brendan Rodgers going, and then the statement from Dermot Desmond. And Martin was the perfect candidate just to keep everything on an even keel. He does the light entertainment, and that will wear thin. It will wear thin for Jamie and the supporters that you are talking about, Gordon, who are saying Martin O'Neill should come out and tell the fans what's really going on here. I'm not as certain as Gordon that Jamie's not right, that Martin might one day say, do you know what, I'm going back down to London. So much will hinge on the next 2 weeks. Celtic have to go to Italy, have to play Hearts, may have to play Hearts with no new signings, may fall 9 points behind Hearts. The transfer window may close and you'll have a loanee or two loanees in, but the squad is insufficient to win the league. At some point, there'll be further trouble down the line.
Do you think Martin O'Neill would leave before the summer, Hugh?
I don't rule out the possibility. You know, he's a free man.
Mm-hmm.
And if he felt that he was wasting his time, then... But in order for that to be the case, Celtic would have to be without any chance of winning the league title.
Well, there is a tweet that's now doing the rounds. Fairly good source over in... I think it's Sky Sports Germany, that they're now in advanced negotiations with Borussia Mönchengladbach over a deal for Thomas Kvankara. He's a 25-year-old striker who's apparently, according to this, already agreed personal terms with Celtic, down to the clubs to finalise the details. It would be a loan with an option to buy, so maybe that's one that's heading in that direction. Jamie, I don't necessarily expect you to know loads about him, but I don't know. Is even a report or a rumour at the moment, is that enough to make you feel any better about things?
I'm completely disconnected from it now. Like, maybe at the start of the window I'd have felt that way, but I feel like it's going to go one or two ways. Like, obviously, I mean, I hope this boy obviously is is a good player, can come in and obviously but it's more than just one player that we need. We're even dragging our heels on the Masuanisi link, apparently. And obviously, I know, Gordon, you'll not want to lose him being a Motherwell man, but he's there in the league, well within Celtic's affordability. There's also that you've also got the bargaining chip there as well of Stephen Welsh. Mm. Stephen Welsh, can he play for another club this season? And he was doing very, very well. Andy Halliday's done nothing but sing Stephen Welsh's praises this season. So I think you've got a good bargaining chip there, that even if Motherwell did want maybe 5-6 million, you can go, well, do you know what, we'll give you 4.5 and Stephen Welsh. Like, it's the dragging of the heels on this. And as I say, like, I'll believe, you know, I mean, that's a fairly reputable source, like you say. But I'll believe it when he's at Celtic.
We would take that deal, Jamie. Did you say 4 million?
Plus Stephen Mills back on loan? Oh, go on then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll carry you down the M74 for that deal. I think that'd be a good deal.
I have to say, with the greatest respect to the North Lanarkshire men to my left and right, you wouldn't pay £4.5 million for Masuanisi.
Top scorer in the Scottish Premiership. If Kieran Bowie's worth six,
he's not worth six.
Yeah, okay. Mm. What? But okay.
And Masuanisi's not worth four.
But four's less than six. No, I think he is.
Nah.
That age, going and scoring in international tournaments this month.
This is Scotland, and £4 million is still a big deal here.
Yeah, but are the times not changing a little bit on that? Are clubs now not? You look at the fees that Motherwell got for Lennon Miller, Aberdeen got for Calvin Ramsey. I know these are young Scottish players, but are we not finally progressing a little bit on that?
I honestly believe Bowie's nowhere near a £6 million player.
Four's less than six.
Masuanisi is doing well, but you would draw the line at four.
The thing is, it'll be interesting because Martin O'Neill was there to see him in the flesh at the weekend. Mm-hmm. The boy scored. He's having a brilliant season, Gordon. I always believe that Celtic right now need two strikers in. And I know people can say, well, I've got so many strikers, but you've got to win a league. They need two quality strikers in. He could be a great sort of the second striker for me because he can play in a couple of different positions. Mm. Martin O'Neill watched him. I don't know.
Thomas Kvankara, the profile looks I'd say a better profile than some of the others that have been linked with Celtic. Had a, certainly a very good record at Sparta Prague, which got him a move to Borussia Mönchengladbach. He's found that a bit harder, 6 league goals since going there, and has spent the first half of this season on loan at Antalyaspor in Turkey. But looks like that one could be heading in the direction of him coming to Glasgow. We'll keep an eye on that. Let me tell you about this first.
Grade one.
£300,000 must be won this Friday, so it might as well go to you. That's the way to look at it. Life-changing cash in your bank before the weekend by texting YES to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll also find the rules for this network competition over there, although it is over 18s only, which you should note. You are also able to call 03434269340 and the calls will be charged at a standard rate. Please don't miss out. The lines close at 5pm on Friday. You just answer the phone and it's £300,000. Good luck. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley. No, it's not.
Oi.
What just happened? You've never been called that before, have you? I looked up and Livy was in the telly.
Exactly.
And he's usually here on a Tuesday, and my brain's just gone completely.
I'm maybe Bartley come
back. Well, I can't believe it. It's not a mistake I expected to make.
No, it's not a mistake but I expected to make.
You would back me up. There's Livy on the telly. He's usually here on a Tuesday night. I went into autopilot. It's Hugh Keevans and Gordon
Dear. Yeah, but he's usually sitting there.
He's usually, you're always here with him. I don't know. Listen, I've had.
We can let you off with one.
Marvin
mistake.
Bartley's not here. I assume he'll be in the dugout for Livy tonight against St Mirren, which is a big game incidentally. So if you want to get in touch on that, please do give us a call. Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dale are here, and no surprise to hear, the January transfer window is keeping us busy, shall we say. That was some breaking news we gave you just before. It does look fairly reliable looking reports from Sky Germany that Celtic are in advanced negotiations with Borussia Mönchengladbach over a deal for Thomas Kvankara. He's a 25-year-old striker. He is from the Czech Republic. He had a good record at Sparta Prague, went to Borussia Mönchengladbach, obviously found that a bit trickier, but did score some goals there, and has been on loan in Turkey at the start of this season. Hugh, I don't think it's a case of saying that Celtic go and just sign anybody.
No.
But maybe at a stage where, you know, the numbers game is actually starting to get to the fans, they've probably accepted that they're not going to go and do amazing, wonderful, idealistic business. But can you just get someone in? Can you get somebody that can come in and make a difference to this squad at the moment?
Advanced talks have got to become concluded talks. He's got to be here by Friday. Have some sort of session at Lennox Town Friday and Saturday, and he's got to play against Hearts because it's the pivotal game. I know we had an earlier caller who said that Celtic will go on and win the title. I think the majority of Celtic supporters are now sceptical where the title is concerned. They must beat Hearts, and therefore if Thomas Kvankara does sign, he has to play. It's as simple as that. He has to start the game, and
or at least feature, you would imagine.
Well, you know,
it's just hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Just, in fact, I checked it earlier. I don't think he's not like completely rusty, but I don't think he's played. He's not played since November.
Well, in that case, I would feel sorry for him then, because he will immediately be expected to score the winning goal at Tynecastle. It's as simple as that. And if the deal is not concluded until Monday, then the Celtic fans will say, what was the point in bringing him in the first place if you've already lost at Tynecastle?
Michael's a Celtic fan. Michael, there appears to be a striker potentially on his way in. Is that cheering you up any?
Finally, not before time, Gordon. 20 days it took us, 20 days to look for a striker. 20 days. And that Mr. Nicholson and Desmond have not been doing a thing. Looking, why are we going for loan players? I'm sorry to say, as one of your callers said, Gordon, I'll give you £3 million for Manisi and a deal for Stephen Welsh on loan. £3 million. He's not worth any more than three. Same with Kieran Bibby. Hibs are used in it for the ransom, putting us to ransom.
See, as one of the previous callers said though, Michael, is there is there not numerous reasons why it will be loans? Firstly, if you believe that stuff about January being difficult, then you've got the fact that Martin O'Neill's not going to be here after the end of the season. There's no sporting director or equivalent. So it does all point to loans a bit for Celtic, does it not?
Aye, definitely does. It's what we're looking at is loan deals. But obviously, there's a rumour I've seen today, I don't know if it's a wee source I've seen on Facebook, I've got, apparently Ange's very close to a return. That's the rumour I've seen today.
Well, that's what it is. With the greatest respect, Michael, that's all it is, a rumour. Because, you know, if Ange was on his way back, we'd have heard about it. Also, with regard to Masuanisi, and again, I always hold my hand up and say maybe journalistic cynicism, but Martin O'Neill watched him on Saturday. If Celtic wanted Tawanda Masuanisi, Celtic would have been in advanced talks with Motherwell by now.
Can there be the old moving parts bit though, where you're not desperate for him to the point where you go on Sunday, but he remains an option if something else doesn't come off? Should we rule that out given how chaotic it all seems?
Well, again, I'll simply state my opinion. Everyone is free to call and say your opinion is hopeless. If it's not the case, I think Martin O'Neill's had a look, and if Celtic wanted him, they'd have done something about it by now.
I don't think he would be Martin O'Neill's number one striker, Hugh. But I think with Stephen Welsh, with the carrot there going back to Motherwell, and Motherwell certainly would take Stephen Welsh in a heartbeat, bringing him in as a number two squad player that can play a couple of positions, gives you a different option, good pace.
Knows the league and all that stuff that you hear.
Yeah, and he's having this season of his life, doing it international level as well, a young age, getting better, playing with better players. No disrespect to the guys at Motherwell, but listen, I wouldn't totally rule it out. I totally understand what you're saying. If they were desperate and they wanted him in for a week, they would have chapped the door and thought, right, he's our man, what do you want for him, and thrashed out a deal. But stranger things have happened in football.
Okay, thank you very much to Michael, because that was a very quick first hour. I just glanced at the clock, didn't realise we were there already. It means it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You know the drill, it's Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to publicly humiliate Gordon Dale or Hugh Keevans and win yourself a signed ball or a Beat the Pundit coin in the process. It is a wonderful opportunity for someone out there, but that opportunity ends at 7 o'clock, so give us a call, 01419511025.
More calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dale are here. It's 01419511025. If you want to get involved, and please do, not for the first time, and I suspect not the last time. There's been lots said about Celtic's transfer business or lack thereof, but reports tonight suggesting they might be heading in a more positive direction, so keep your opinions coming. What else is out there for you though? We mentioned the Lawrence Shankland question. I'd like to hear from Hearts fans and Rangers fans on this. Does Lawrence Shankland's 6 to 8 week injury change things a lot? Not at all? A little bit? Where are you? What does it change in the title race? Give us a call, all of you please, on 01419511025. Big game between Livy and St Mirren tonight as well. Loads more out there, so please call us right now if you can, and we'll speak to you next. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna last night, seriously.
Yeah.
All about him. 100th win of the season for the Pundits, and it just had to be won by him. And he got his fourth 10 in a row of the season.
We'll need to retire his jersey, because there's only one Roger Hanna. Even Andy Halliday looks weak by comparison.
He's got some cheek last season, moaning about being on minus two, kicking up fuss to go back to minus one. Then he goes and gets four tens.
Is he still on minus one?
Mm-hmm. By the middle of January.
Andy's on minus one as well, isn't he?
Yep.
They're the big hitters. Bilkey tonight. There's a ball or a coin going right out this door.
You think so?
At 10 minutes.
Anyway, let's bring in Kyle, who's in Carluke. How's it going, Kyle?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Kyle. First time for you on this?
First time.
Good
first
man.
Time
tell you, I think it's testament to this famous competition, Hugh, that after all these years, how many shows do we do a season? Hundreds and hundreds, and still the amount of debutants out there that weren't involved.
I think Kyle was possibly drawn towards the two possible contenders.
I think so.
Yeah.
What's your you, Gordon? You won twice last week.
I've not been beat.
You're unbeaten in 2026.
Yeah.
One was a tiebreaker.
Yeah. And I just told the guy where I was going. Tiebreakers, I just go 100 and wish for the best. Doesn't matter what the question is, 100. Hopefully best.
Right, toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it's blue for Hugh. Red side will be Gordon DL. I'm sick of your theories about the coin, so don't even waste my time. It is red for Gordon DL.
Every single time I'm on this show, he puts that red.
Try again. Oh, it would have been blue on that one, I'm afraid.
Yeah, okay.
Gordon DL up against Kyle from Curlook. So we'll give Gordon something else to listen to. Kyle, the rules could barely be easier. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that is absolutely allowed.
All good?
Good man. Right, 30 seconds going on the clock. And your time starts now. How many wins do Celtic have in the Europa League groups this season?
Two.
Rangers winger Finlay Curtis looks set to join which other Scottish team on loan?
Kilmarnock.
Who are the only Edinburgh side left in the Scottish Cup?
The Spartans.
Does Scotland have more cities or Premiership football teams?
Premiership football teams.
In what year did Kelty Hearts knock holders St Johnstone out of the Scottish Cup?
2022.
Name any team currently in League One who's previously been in the Scottish Premiership.
Alloa.
Sneaky question, that one. I like that. Gordon DL, can you hear us? Are you back?
Yep.
Good. Same set of questions to you.
Cool.
Kyle's brilliant, by the way.
I could imagine. I'm not really
curious. Oh, you're not? Okay. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. How many wins do Celtic have in the Europa League groups this season?
Two.
Rangers winger Finlay Curtis looks set to join which other Scottish team on loan?
Kilmarnock. No idea.
Who's the only Edinburgh side left in the Scottish Cup?
Edinburgh side? Spartans.
Does Scotland have more cities or Premiership football teams?
Premiership football teams.
In what year did Kelty Hearts knock holders St Johnstone out the Scottish Cup?
2019.
Name any team currently in League One who's previously played in the Scottish Premiership.
Alloa?
Don't think so.
No, do you know what's weird about that?
I couldn't even.
Did you hear Kyle's answers?
No.
They both said Alloa.
Hamilton? Yeah.
Why Alloa? Both of you?
I don't know.
Like, on a number of... Easy for me to say, because I know the answers, right? But Alloa, obviously, have never been in the Scottish Premiership. They're also, like, just not the League One team that would spring to mind. I'm baffled that you both went...
Did Kyle go for that as well?
That's strange. Anyway, let's go through them. How many wins do Celtic have in the Europa League groups this season? It is two. Sturm Graz and Feyenoord, you both got it. Finlay Curtis looks set to join Kilmarnock. You both got it.
That was a guess from
me. The only Edinburgh team left in the Scottish Cup is the Spartans. You both got it. Does Scotland have more cities? 8. Or Scottish Premiership teams? 12. Is Premiership teams. And you both got it. Name any team in League One who's been in the Premiership, not Alloa, Inverness or Hamilton, which means it all comes down
100
to this. No. There's another question left.
Oh no, did I not get there?
It all comes down. No, you did. Kelty Hearts knocked holders St Johnstone out in which
year? I just guessed.
You said 2019. Mm-hmm. Kyle said 2022. The answer, 22nd of January 2022. Oh. Kyle and Curlook, that is outstanding. Well done.
That was a guess, I'll be honest.
Or was it? You were so convincing. Seriously.
Do you know something? I don't even mind getting beat with that. That was a good game.
But Kyle, see if it was you as well, you would have lied, because Kyle said, like, with real conviction, as if he knew. So of course St Johnstone won it in 2021. They were the holders by the time 2022 came around. And Kyle, you have done it. You've ended his 2026 unbeaten run. It only lasted to the 20th of January, but you've done it. Well done.
Well done,
never
Kyle.
Never in doubt.
Did you explain Alloa to me though, both of you?
My girlfriend's from Alloa. First city that came to mind.
I know Kyle's girlfriend, that's why I said
stop
that
it. As good a reason as any, I guess. There we go. Kyle, do you want the sign ball or the coin?
I'll take the sign ball, please.
Sign ball, okay, fair enough. Who's your team, Kyle?
Rangers.
What are you thinking about the title race now that Lawrence Shankland's injured? Does that change your thoughts in any way?
I mean, it's definitely a boost, but I think it's just going to come down to the split at the end of the season between the three teams. So,
it's not something that like moves your dial too much.
I still fancy Hearts.
Do you
To get something at the weekend? Or to get something at the weekend? Ah,
okay,
not win the league,
right.
No, we'll see.
Can't wait for the weekend. How good is it? Because as you say, Hugh, I don't. You're obviously of the view that if Celtic lose the game, they couldn't claw back 9 points.
No.
I don't know who really cares whether I agree with that strength of sentiment or not, but I think we would all at least agree 9 points would be remarkable to be. That's a remarkable deficit to face at this stage,
yeah,
with Rangers in between, if that was to be the case. But again, yeah, Gordon, the other caller then puts a more positive spin on it. If there's no Shankland and there's no Devlin and there's no Beningame, and if Celtic go and win 3 points, we've got if we didn't already, that's a proper title race.
A lot mitigates against Celtic. They have to go to Italy and play this game against Bologna, regardless of whether it's a win, a loss or a draw. You've got the travel, you've got the exertions of the game, and you have to come back and in a very short space of time take on the Hearts in the most important match of the season for Celtic, and they're playing a Hearts team who have already beaten them twice.
With Devlin, Beningame, Shankland, Gordon, you would put. The good thing about Hearts is they're there for a reason. The Kizaridis has been excellent, Braga's been excellent, and of course Halkett and Finlay. They've had success stories all over the pitch, but for a trio to be missing from Hearts, you know, there's always going to be a feeling that as good as Hearts are, they've still got a much smaller budget than Celtic or Rangers. They really need. They feel like they really need everything to go their way. You're going to need breaks here and there. You're maybe going to need to stay clear of big injuries, and this week they haven't.
Yeah, they've had a massive blow. But as the caller said, and I totally agree with them, sort of Celtic throughout the season with their three big hitters.
And that's a different,
I know that, but
set of resources, isn't it?
It's timing's everything here, and it's a bad, bad bit of timing for Hearts. Unlucky for them to lose. As I said to you, the centre forward in Shankland, not just that. I think that Devlin has been one of the top players in the Premier League this year, midfield player. I think he's been outstanding, and you've got to give him all the credit in the world. So he's got to be such a big miss. I think it'll be a difficult game. I think it'll be a really good game. But I do believe that Celtic will have fresh faces in the door before the pitch up at Tynecastle that weekend.
Speaking of big clubs that used to win everything in their country and now are on the slide, bit tenuous, isn't it? See that Man City score on the screen there? Does that pain you? They were 3-0 down against Bodo Glimt. They pulled it back to 3-1, but now they're down to 10 men. Rodri sent off.
Only a matter of time before somebody calls to say the boy from Bodo Glimt should be Celtic's manager.
Oh, how many times have we had? I don't know what his deal is. What sort of contract is he on there? Because he's linked with every job and it never really.
Yeah,
seems maybe. To maybe I thought you were going to say Pep.
I was going to say that. Maybe got a phone call to say Pep because the way he's going about his business, lost against Man U and now he's getting thrashed tonight.
Didn't just lose to Man U, a regular going over.
His press conference will be suitably awkward tonight, won't it? When he's in that mood.
Well, I mean, I can't look at him now in press conferences. He's so dismissive, so rude. You're absolutely delighted when he loses.
Oh well. Hugh Keevans, no holding back. 01419511025. Give us a call, let us know what you're thinking. Not necessarily on the Champions League, I don't think, but the January transfer window, huge game in the Premiership. We'd like to hear from you, St Mirren or Livy fans there. And Hearts fans, everybody else is talking about what Lauren Shankland's absence means. How do you feel? How bad is that news for you? Do you think you can survive it? Do you think the 6 to 8 weeks can pass without any serious damage? Or is this a game changer in the title race? You tell us. You're the ones at the centre of it. So please give us a call if you can. Stuart is a Rangers fan next up. Hi, Stuart.
Hi there, panel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I've got 2 points. The first point is about Findlay Cutliffe going out and loan to Kamalic. I mean, he was just coming into his game, and I think they should have kept a hold of him rather than put him out and loan, because he's been playing the last couple of games. He's played well. And my other point is it's about Rangers playing their best football since Steven Gerrard won them a league when they didn't lost a game.
Finlay Curtis, I keep checking. I don't think either club have confirmed it yet, but certainly by all accounts seems to be heading that way, Gordon. I don't think Stuart will be alone and maybe wanting him to stay around.
I was on a show that we had one of Rangers fans saying, look, they would rather see Kusama leave, get out on loan or whatever, and keep Finlay Curtis. Now, against Annan, I thought Curtis was excellent when he moved over to the right. I think he's a very good, talented boy, I really do. But where I will agree with the Rangers manager, if he doesn't see him, because Rangers have got a big squad now, if he doesn't see him getting a lot of game time between now and the end of the season, to go out and loan to a Premier League club and probably play, I think would benefit the lad.
I think if you know, Stuart is perfectly entitled to his opinion, that that, after all, is the whole premise of this programme. Fans have their say. But I think he has to show greater trust in Danny Rowe, a man who came in after Rangers had won 1 of 8 league games and has now won 11 of the next 14 league games and has taken Rangers straight back into the title race. I think you trust his judgment.
Ah, that's the beauty of the Scottish football opinion stakes. They might have won them all if Finlay Curtis had played. That could, obviously, that's a stretch, but you never know. He could have played a part. That's clearly what Stuart wants him to do. Stuart, just the arrival of Skov Olsen, Kasama's already there. I know Antman's been injured. There are other, Mikey Moore sometimes off a side, that sort of thing. Is it not better that he just goes and plays a bit more?
I think they should have played him a bit more, but even though he could benefit from it. We don't know until he's getting the loan. I mean, look at the player that loaned out to Aberdeen, his first game, Liam Cameron, man in the match. You know what I mean? Like, it's some game.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of, young ones, they're not getting a chance in football because there's that many players coming out and out of Rangers.
But what would you rather have? Would you rather have a team full of multi-million pound players who won the league, or a team with up and coming promising youngsters?
Well, up and promising youngsters, I would take up and promising. Look, you've got to give them a chance one time. I mean, it's got to happen one time in Scottish football.
You can take, obviously, there are loads of examples of when a young player goes out on loan from Celtic or Rangers, it's the beginning of the end. But there are others where it goes and works. I always think Ryan Christie, for some reason, springs to mind. I think, you know, most people, and he was older, I'm sure, than Finlay Curtis, had come from Inverness.
Listen, the Celtic captain went out on loan.
People felt that was the, I mean, just another Scottish team. But, you know, people maybe, I think he was on his way out, Ryan Christie, at that time, and then comes back, and look at him now. Yeah. So
I think, you know, Lyle Cameron that you referenced there, and Finlay Curtis, I think Danny Rule is saying, I'll get this league one, and then they'll be back, and they'll be all the better for the experience of having played at Aberdeen and Kilmarnock, respectively. I just think that they're gone but not forgotten, far from it.
I agree. I don't think Finlay Curtis, for me, I think he's potentially got a real opportunity in going to Kilmarnock. If that's a deal, I think that's a very good move to play football at that level to the end of the season.
Feels like an obvious fit, just even if the fact that it's not far away, you know, that not much change, it's the same league. Two coaches that he worked with last season.
Yeah, and that's the reason why Neil and obviously Dodgy's come in and tried to get him, because they've worked with him. They know what his ability is, they know everything about him, know what kind of character he is, what kind of lad he is in the dressing room as well. And, you know, Kilmarnock are desperate. They're sitting down there in 11th. They're really struggling. So I think that would be a great move. If the Rangers manager's looking, going forward and thinking, it's just not his time yet, I can play him against Annan, I've no problems with that, but it's not his time yet. I've added to the squad, I'm happy with the squad. How do I benefit this boy to kick him on for next year? That's a good move.
From a Rangers perspective, Stuart, does Lauren Shanklin's injury change your thoughts on the title race?
It could be, because he is a good player and he keeps the team going all the time. They can also ask Hugh Keevans the question, do you think Rangers are playing their best football since Steven Gerrard won the title when they never lost a game?
I'm not sure that at that stage yet. As I say, I would compliment Danny Rule. He took over a team who had won 1 of 8 and turned them into a team who have won 11 of 14. So I hand it to him for consistency, for determination, for any word you care to choose. But sometimes they win ugly, and that's part of the game as well. That's allowable.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I was going to say on that, Gordon, I don't don't be too cynical, but I don't recall since Steven Gerrard left, I don't recall too many periods where we've had calls giving Rangers major style points. So if it is, if, and some people might disagree anyway, if it is the best football since then, I'm not trying to say it's been a low bar, because I know there were little patches of like semi-successful times and whatever, but like I said, over the last few years we've not been batting away calls from Rangers fans saying we're playing sparkling stuff.
I don't think it is the best football, but what I like about this manager, and he said it for day one when he walked in, took the job, he says it's about winning games, it's about results, and he's true to his word. He's winning games, and that's the reason why the Rangers fans have bought into him. That's the reason why the Rangers board have backed him in this transfer window, January transfer window, and they've spent some money as well. And I think that's the way he should go ahead. Look, everybody loves to go along there, spend your money, sit there, watch your team win, and into the bargain, get entertained. Right now, because of the way the situation is, this pressure of winning this league, it's all about the 3 points. Then, if you get a great performance on top of that, a little bit of icing on the cake for you.
Thank you, Stuart. 0141 951 1025. Why not jump on board? Let us know what you're thinking, agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard. Want to introduce something new? We're here for you, and we can do it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Hugh Evans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in and let us know what you are thinking. Big game in Livingston tonight as well. We'll do team news in the not too distant future. I want to thank Darren for sending tonight's full time teaser. Well, Darren certainly was the inspiration. I think it's a little bit of a spin on Darren's question, but Darren did much of the hard work. What about producer Jay? Do you think we need to launch some sort of intervention? I checked my emails this morning, and I had the teaser sent over to me at 4 a.m. from 4 a.m. producer Jay. Is that the type of life this guy leads, or
is that him just getting in or just getting up?
Again, these are the questions that we need answered. Who's looking at the full time teasers at 4:30 a.m. to be precise? I actually took half an hour off it.
Yeah,
is a worry.
Nah. Oh, listen, since you walked in here, he's been a worry.
Half 4 a.m.
Yeah. By the way, I'll tell you what, the biggest worry is if you ever sit next to him in the car when he's driving.
Do you do your emails at 4 a.m?
Yeah. I can just imagine. I'm sleeping tight at 4:30.
I've never seen
4:30.
Anyway, good question for you. Really good question. Whether it was sent at 4:30 or not. This season, there are 9 Premiership players with more than 15 league appearances whose surname begins with the same letter as their team. Okay, so there are 9 players in the Premiership, more than 15 league appearances, and their surname begins with the same letter as their team.
Hanley.
Brilliant, Gordon DL, straight off the bat. Grant Hanley, H for Hanley, H for Hibs, 17 appearances. Write it down and lock it in.
Yep. I'm struggling.
Other than that, that's that.
Halkett of Hart.
It's
wonderful. It's wonderful. 18 appearances for him. Take one more guess and we'll move on.
Maswanisi of Motherwell.
Wonderful. 19 for Motherwell. Let's leave it there. You can get back to me. And thank you to Darren once again for sending it in. It is fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send your questions in. Chris is in Kilwinning. What's happening, Chris?
How are you doing, chaps?
What have you got for us, Chris?
I'm just, obviously, listening away there. I'm just thinking, like, see Danny Rowe. Right, he's come in and his point, as Gordon had said, like, he didn't care about style, he just wanted to win games. And I think that's a big difference between what we've got and what Celtic had. Like, not to try to change the style within a couple of days, which was bonkers, to be fair. But Danny Rowe, he gives me like the Gerrard vibes of when he come in, the way he conducts himself, the way he is around the club, and the way he is with players, and like the press and everything else. And it's just one of the ones that, I mean, you look at all the Smith teams, a lot of their teams won 1-0, but winning games is all that matters. It doesn't matter how you play. If you get a good, I think Gold mentioned it, if you get a good performance, it's icing on the cake. But if you win games, ultimately you do what you can to win them. You don't go in and change things. And that's what Danny said on his first day. Like, he came in and he was like, you know what, probably I have got a style that that I want to play, but ultimately I'm going to win games, and that's what he's done, and that's what's put us in the title race. And it just reminds me of when Gerrard come in. It's so strange, like a young guy trying to make his name in management.
Yeah, but remember Steven Gerrard lost two league titles before he got one.
Yeah, but he still went a full league season unbeaten.
Yeah,
you learn from mistakes, don't you?
And he certainly did. But Danny Rowe, you know, as I say, I keep paying tribute to the man for consistency. But he knows this is the transition season. He could win the league very easily, but this is the transition season. This is where he undoes some of the things that Russell Martin did before him, where he exerts his authority in the transfer market, begins to shape a team in his likeness, not in anybody else's. So he's doing exactly the right thing. Focus on the practicalities, get points, get the league won, and then he'll go on from there. And that's why I say, I think, in Glasgow, unless Celtic do something dramatic in the summertime regarding the appointment of a new manager, the balance of power in Glasgow is shifting, and the Celtic supporters, if they can't see it, should take a second look, and then they'll see it. And that's why the summertime for Celtic is crucial.
To be fair, I don't think Chris was saying they were the exact same scenario, so I'm not trying to contradict Chris, but the one thing, Gordon, that maybe separates the Danny Rule and Wilfred Nancy comparison that you do sometimes here is Danny Rule took over a mess, a real mess, and Wilfred Nancy didn't, that because Martin O'Neill had come in. So it was almost the departure from that was Wilfred Nancy's undoing, whereas Danny Rule almost, you know, Rangers were pretty much rock bottom. You could barely be lower at that stage in a season. So the kind of foundations were there for him to just go and do it his way, try and just win games first of all, make them hard to beat, you know, prioritise these types of things.
I never imagined being sitting here on January 20th talking about, you would probably, a lot of people are fancying Rangers now to go and win this title. And that's all credit to the Rangers manager. He didn't inherit a great squad, didn't inherit a team that was playing with confidence. They were rock bottom. And I liked the way he went about his business, Gordon. He'd come in, he had a structure, the players bought into it, and he started winning games. And even when they weren't playing well, they were still winning games. Now he's got to January, he's put himself in a great position. He's highlighted the positions that he has to strengthen, and the work's already been done. He's brought in three players. Now, I keep saying it doesn't matter what the player is, we need to see what they bring to the table, but he's identified the positions. Left back, he needs a centre midfield player, got it. He needs a winger, the experience that he's brought in, got it. Me personally, I think a full house would be try and get someone like Danilo out and bring in another striker, and all of a sudden you're looking at a Rangers squad and you're going, well, tell you what, they are going into the next few months very strong indeed. So, listen, all credit to him. He's been absolutely brilliant for Rangers since he came in.
Chris, see the fact that Danny Rule's got three signings that are his, so to speak. Do you think maybe you will see a bit more of his stamp on things after the window ends, because he might even bring more signings in, or does he just stick to what he's done so far?
No, I think he'll stick to what he's done, and then in the summer he builds. I think you look at Scott Wilson, sorry, just a quick point, I'd already talked to Hugh, he's beat me three times and beat the pundit.
Three times?
I've been on five times, I've been beat five times, but I'll still come back. But no, I think with Danny Rowe, I think he'll stick to what he's doing, because why change it when it's not broken? Do you know what I mean? Why try and fix it? It's not broken. Yes, he's brought the boys in, but I think the biggest one for me is like Scott Bolson. We went after him a while ago and we didn't get him, but somehow, like, there's that pool there now, and we can do something. Like, Europe's a lost cause for us, so let it be. But to where we were when Russell Martin had the team, to where we are now, like, have we played brilliant football? I'll guarantee not one of you guys should tell me a game since then they'll come in that we've played brilliant football, because I can't and I don't really care. We're winning games.
Exactly. No one will care. If Rangers win the title and from game 9 onwards, in other words, from the time Danny Rowe took over, if from game 9 to game 38, it's sore to watch. It doesn't matter so long as you win the title.
I think particularly Scov Olsen, Gordon, just because he's an attacker, he's the one that, if you can rediscover what he previously did, maybe has a bit of that X factor. Do you think, Danny Rule could still look to add those steps this season? I'm not saying rip everything up and perform completely different, but there must be a happy medium where you can keep that foundations of being hard to beat and maybe, but maybe be a bit more convincing in an attacking sense, because you can't just always win narrowly or mm-hmm. all, you know, always just find a way to win. The easiest way to do it is go and win comfortably, control games, be really, you know, full of conviction in the final third. That's really how you move towards titles.
Yeah, of course you do. But I think you identified right away. We were sitting in here at the beginning of the season. Teams, you always fancied teams to score goals against Rangers. They gave up so many chances. It was incredible. They were easy to play against. He came in and identified that. He sorted it. Middle of the park, he had Barron playing at the top of his game before he got injured. His problem was up front. He had to get his strikers, who they'd paid a lot of money for, they had to get them scoring goals. They're doing okay just now. I think they need to add a little bit more from now to the end of the season if they are going to win the title. Look, he's brought in Olsen. The pedigree's all there. We don't know how he's going to perform, Gordon, but the pedigree's certainly there. I think he's going the right direction. And if he can get to the summer here, then he can probably get a lot of players out of the club and then freshen everything up again, and then maybe look to a pre-season of working on his style of play.
The Hearts fans have been a bit quiet tonight, maybe getting over the bad news. Chris, I'll ask you from your point of view. Again, we've been asking a lot of callers, what do you think Lauren Shanklin's 6 to 8 week absence does to the title race, because he's so important to Hearts?
I said this in the group chat. I think Braga's a bigger loss and Devlin's a bigger loss. Sorry, Devlin, I don't know if Braga's out.
Devlin and Beningame for this game at the weekend.
I think Devlin's a bigger loss, if I'm honest. Just the way he's been playing this season. Because he's had that, he's got that aggression, he's got that mentality, but he's kind of tuned it a wee bit from like last season, where he would just like nail people and get booked. But he does it a bit smarter this time. He's playing a lot better.
The only thing I'll say, Chris, I do agree with you and Devlin. I think he's been outstanding. If you're going to win the league, goal scorers tend to win you.
And Shank, got
Braga
front, no.
I know, but I'll tell you what, I think when it comes to the business end of the season, I think that I would put my hat on Shanklin probably find the back of net more than Braga. I like Braga, I think he's been great for
that. To be fair, even if
Shanklin's an actual goal scorer.
Even if Chris is right though, I don't think that's a controversial point to say he believes they missed Devlin more. There wouldn't be much in it, Hugh. You know, they're both played a really key role so far.
I can't believe it, and I'm sure Derek McInnes can't believe it. The cumulative effect of losing Cammy Devlin and Lauren Shanklin. I mean, how unlucky can you be? You know, Tynecastle will help, the fans there will help them pull through on occasions. On Sunday, when Celtic go there, there are only 650 Celtic supporters allowed in the ground. The atmosphere will be pro-Hearts and then some. But when they go away, you need Shanklin to dig you out of a hole in away matches, he's not there, and Devlin's not there to do the dirty side of the game. And I just think the cumulative effect is too much. If Derek wins the title, having lost both of those guys, then call off the Manager of the Year award. He's sitting right in front of you.
See, on the subject of the away ticket allocation, I think every club should prioritise their home fans. So see if you can sell the place out and whatever, then, you know, absolutely more power to you. But I did like seeing the away end in the weekend, because it was a cup game, the Falkirk fans going mad behind that goal. I thought that was good, wasn't it? And then they've still got that for the Edinburgh Derby. Anyway, a small point that I'm not sure anyone will necessarily care about. How are you doing on this teaser? Very quickly, we're looking for 9 players with more than 15 Premiership appearances this season, but their surname begins the same letter as their team. So Masunisi, Motherwell, Halkett, Hearts, Hanley, Hibs. I'll take one more guess.
Carter, each Carter, Vickers, Celtic.
No,
it must be.
He's not played.
Oh, sure he hasn't. Raskin, Rangers.
Yes, well done. 20 appearances. We'll leave it there. We'll get the rest when we return. Since it is about to kick off, why don't I give you some team news as well, actually, because I don't want to run late on that one. Livy taking on St Mirren tonight. We said it was a massive game and we meant it, because there's so much at stake really when you look at that league table at the moment. St Mirren in 10th. They are 8 points ahead of Livy, but they certainly want to try and look up the way. This is like St Mirren's game in hand on Dundee as well, so they really want to try and make some serious progress there. What are you thinking? They obviously met each other. I've got a real bee in my bonnet about that. I don't know. Like, there's nothing you can do. I just hate it. I hate that lack of variety when teams play each other so soon. Like, Motherwell played Aberdeen in the cup in the league, then back to back. They've now been drawn in the Scottish Cup, and it's next to a league, near a league game as well. I don't like it, but anyway.
I think if Livy lose to St Mirren tonight, they're done. They're in the championship.
So? Yeah.
But that doesn't affect. What about Kilmarnock's role in all this?
I know, but Kilmarnock will be in the playoffs because they're not good enough to be anywhere else. But I think if Livy lose tonight,
because I would accept the theory of if they lose tonight, they'll be in the bottom two.
Yeah,
but it doesn't change Kilmarnock's role, does it? Livy could still catch Kilmarnock if they lost tonight, though.
Yeah, but only insofar as Livy will be in the playoffs and Kilmarnock will be relegated.
I mean, not straight down though.
But I just get the feeling, as Dazzler keeps on saying, they last won a game on the 9th of August.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but they're still in an opportunity of getting out. It's such a strange league this year. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Prior and goal. Oh, they've done it numerically. That's no use for me. But anyway, Ryan McGowan, the skipper, Sissoko, Muirhead, McLennan, Smith, Finlayson, Tate, Montano, Brenny, and your man, Scott Arfield. Gordon DL is in there. Mm-hmm. He obviously got up and running with a very nice goal at the weekend, but St Mirren got by on penalties after the late drama. George and goal. They've gone Fraser, King, Freckleton and Richardson at the back. Phillips, Gogic, McMenamin and John, with Idowu supporting Mandron for St Mirren. Who's going to win that one?
St Mirren, for me.
Okay. Got to Livingston.
Is this the night, is it?
Yeah, it must be. Come on, Marv.
Jeez. Okay, before we go any further, Hugh Keevans, the question that's been on everybody's lips since we started this: does the Nokia take selfies?
No.
Oh, geez. Right. Well, you and Gordon DL go out together then, take a selfie somewhere interesting in the city centre, because you've obviously heard the big news that we're moving.
Yeah.
You're very excited. You're going to get the train in.
Well, I'd train.
You're starting getting the train from the show.
Yeah, well, it makes common sense for
big
me.
Big question: Motherwell or Airbus?
Oh, Motherwell, 16 minutes to Central.
Right.
Walk round the corner, happy days.
Airbus a wee bit closer to your flat,
just,
though.
Just park, no, park the car.
Right, okay.
And then train, and there's a Greg's coffee, boom.
You get the train to Clydebank anyway, or Singer, so it doesn't change much for you.
I just go in town in the opposite direction.
Fair enough. Anyway, how do you fancy seeing your face on a big billboard? That goes to all of you.
A billboard big enough for us.
So we want you to share your selfies of you with a Glasgow landmark, just whatever Glasgow means to you, on your Instagram story. Tag us. You don't have Instagram either. This is wasted on you. Tag us at Clyde1Official or use the hashtag IBelongToGlasgow. You can post it on Bowie's official Facebook page as well, and just help us celebrate the move to the city centre. How long have we been here?
43 years.
How long have you been here?
41 of those 43 years.
He owned it. He cut the ribbon.
41 of 43.
So this place was new and shiny when you came
out. Without doubt. And I also lived here, of course, so at that time.
Did you ever swim in
the swimming pool? He doesn't swim.
No, okay, did you ever paddle in the swimming pool that's in this building?
My children and grandchildren have all been in and out of that pool.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Do you know I've been 15 odd years here and I've never seen the swimming pool?
Never even seen it?
No.
Seriously?
No, I've never seen the swimming pool.
I'll take you in the way out.
Yeah, never seen it.
It always surprises people to find that we have one.
Yeah.
It's not really operational anymore. And ever since I've been here at staff, I've never used it. It's been rented out.
You haven't used it, no?
No. I've used the showers quite a few times. Sometimes I would come here, go for a run, shower, come in, etc.
I've been here so long, George Bowie and I got a terrible mouthful from Victoria Beckham one morning. They tell me that's quite a normal thing in their family.
I've heard she's in the news currently. Nice to bring that up to speed.
Oh, she gave us a terrible going on.
What for?
George or I can't remember, one of us said something about she'd maybe a bit hard worker.
Yeah, I know who that sounds like.
And she was here.
She heard it. Yeah.
There you go. But anyway, we're on the move to the city centre, Queen Street. And if you want to send your selfies, please do. We will get the answers to the teaser and more calls when we return.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Already into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still keen to hear from you though, whether it's transfer window, the big game in Livingston, Lauren Shanklin's injury, something else entirely. We're here for it. Give us a call. We've got a good teaser on the go as well. Big thank you to Darren for sending the inspiration for this in. It's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Can you name 9 players with more than 15 Premiership appearances this season whose surname begins with the same letter as their team name? So Raskin Rangers, Maswanisi Motherwell, Halkett Hearts, Hanley Hibs,
Ivan Dolcek of Dundee United.
Oh, he's showing off now. Brilliant. Great knowledge. Dolcek, Dundee United.
I'm going to go Kilty Kilmarnock.
Well done.
And Junior Hoylett.
Only 14 appearances.
Oh,
you've hit the post.
How many have we still got?
3.
Oh my.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll get back to that.
I need a bit of clues here.
Certain of it. We'll keep an eye on the early stages of Livy St Mirren as well, if we can, to make sure there's nothing that we're missing there in case we get any early drama. It's a big game down at the bottom. We've got a bit of a split in the studio. Hugh thinks that Livy will not win it. Gordon Biel does. So we will see how that one progresses. It just feels like, how often can you keep saying it, that Livy are, they're just always in games. They're very rarely do you think that was a dreadful performance. Even at the weekend, yeah, they got the cup, but they go all the way, you know, all the way to penalties.
Yeah.
The only one I can, feels like the Dundee United one was a really sore one. But other than that,
That's how I sort of, surely it's a matter of time for they win a game, right? And because they drew with St Mirren the 90 plus minutes and extra time and lost to penalties, which can happen to any team, I just feel tonight another home advantage, second go at it. I think they'll scrape a 3 points tonight.
What about your favourite, Scott Archer, as you called him last week?
Yeah,
and Arfield, listen, scoring. Great goal that, wasn't it?
That's what he's been brought in for. He's a danger, knows where the back of net is. There's nobody better in time in a run from the middle of the park into the box. His career was made out of it. He's been absolutely brilliant. Experience, he's a man. He'll get the winner tonight.
Well, I admire your confidence, but it's misplaced. St Mirren, I think
defeat there would tip Stephen Robinson over the edge,
over
wouldn't
the
it?
Edge completely. But I think his tactics worked perfectly. His team lost. He slaughtered them for effect, and they came out hurting, and they beat Livy in the cup, albeit on penalties. But I just think they'll have gathered themselves again, and they'll have one goal too many for Livy tonight.
Because with the cups, great, and it gives you that joy and it gives you that uplift. But obviously, you know, you then get back to league football and all gets forgotten, doesn't it? St Mirren fans will take very little joy out of that one at the weekend. If it goes wrong tonight, you're kind of back to where you were.
Well, look, they beat Celtic in a cup final and then fell apart. You know, it's ridiculous that the winners of the first major trophy of the season are third from bottom, 4 points above the team who are second bottom. So it's a big night for St Mirren as well as Livy. I just think if they get it and, you know, start to continue to go in an upward direction, they'll be fine. But I fear for Livy and I fear for Kilmarnock.
It is incredible this season when you look at that league table. St Mirren, you can't deny it. I know Hugh says if Martin O'Neill was a manager of Celtic, he fancied them to win it. I don't know if you can say that. I think you've got to give credit to St Mirren. Thought they were brilliant against Motherwell in the semi. They played 21 league games and won 4 in the league. It's unbelievable. You would never have thought of that. They need a result tonight, because see if Livy do get 3 points, all of a sudden, those three teams, 10, 11 and 12, it's a real dogfight down there.
See, since we're talking about transfers, we referenced this earlier in the context of Celtic and doing business without a manager, but quite interested in what Aberdeen are doing. So we said, yeah, no manager at the moment. But Liam Morrison, who was a kid at Celtic before going to Bayern Munich, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had a loan spell at Wigan. He's been at QPR, 12 appearances in the Championship this season. Add to that Lyle Cameron, who we obviously know and who got man of the match at the weekend. Rumours picking up pace tonight, Olesanya, who was very effective for St Mirren.
I liked him,
now,
yeah.
to be fair, Aberdeen look like they need signings because it's not been a good season so far. But I feel like that's quite interesting, the business that's been done.
I thought the performance against Raith Rovers was decidedly iffy in the Scottish Cup on Sunday. They scraped through by a single goal. But I do like Olasanya. Liam Morrison, I'm sure, will bring something as well. I think they've obviously abandoned the idea of appointing a manager until the summertime as well.
I think they have though.
Yeah, I think.
I feel like we'll maybe see one.
I think Lutz Pfannenstiel quite fancies himself as the man who stands beside Peter Leaven and takes care of things there. So I think that will go on in that fashion until the end of the season. And then there'll be a worry for you boys about Jens Bertolasco or Stephen Robinson.
That's if he doesn't replace
whoever.
Pep in the summer.
Well, yeah.
For goodness sake.
But I look at him, Pfannenstiel, and I think, yeah, you think you're the top man here.
He probably is, isn't he?
Because the thing is, Gordon, obviously we're focused on the title race for good reason. We spoke about the bottom tonight. Looking at that top six, Aberdeen shouldn't be in a race for the top six. It's not enough. It's not good enough. But you wouldn't bet against Falkirk at the moment, would you? Who're already there. Hibs are above them. Motherwell above that. So for it looks at the moment like two big clubs, Dundee United or Aberdeen. Surely one of them's going to miss out.
Out of the three you touched on there, Falkirk, Dundee United and Aberdeen, Falkirk are miles ahead of both of them, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
And literally are 5 points ahead as well. Yeah, I know you meant in terms of performance.
I think Falkirk this season have been excellent.
So they are, yeah.
Really do. I love the football. I love the fact that they're playing with such confidence. They go away to Tynecastle. One or two of the boys called it. Credit to them.
Right, quick. We're looking for 9 Premiership players, more than 15 league appearances this season. Their surname begins with the same as their team name. So Raskin and Rangers, Masvanisi at Motherwell, Dolcek, Dundee United, Halk at Hearts, Kilty, Kilmarnock, Hanley, Hibs. 3 to get. What team were we just talking about?
Livian, Superman?
The other team.
Aberdeen?
Yep.
And shoot something. Anderson.
A former favourite of yours, you don't mention him so much anymore.
Armstrong.
Of course. And one you would never get, but he's actually joint top of the tree. He's got 20 appearances. Aushish. Adil Aushish, 20 appearances for Aberdeen. Begins with A. And the last one, come on.
What team?
Poor from you.
Motherwell.
20 appearances.
Oh my goodness.
Tell you what, as far as well known Scottish football surnames go,
Miller, Montgomery.
Come on.
McCallum.
McGinn.
Oh my God.
Ridiculous. Back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.